good morning. It's good to see everybody. Hey, listen, I've been gone a while until the last couple of weeks, and if you have started to attend church here at Jefferson and I have not met you yet, make sure I meet you either today or next week or sometime very soon. I look forward to meeting you. Hey, listen, I know that I don't look like it, but I used to love to run. I really love to run, and it's crazy because when I was young, and you know, we'd run in PE class, or if we were starting baseball, or we were starting football, or we were starting soccer, or whatever it was that we were starting at that time, and we'd have to go and we'd run laps. I hated that so much. It was so awful, but the more my coaches made me run, the stronger my legs got, the stronger my lungs got, the more endurance I built up, and I really, when I see progress, that motivates me more than anything in the world. Progress motivates me. If I lose a few pounds, I'm inspired to lose a few more. And so, back in the day, probably really my mid to late 30s was probably my heyday of really just loving to get out and run. And so I'd run a mile, and then that inspired me. I can run a mile, that's no problem. I can run 2 miles. And I would just, whenever I felt like stopping, I would push through. If you're a runner, you understand what I'm talking about. There's this wall that you hit, and it's like, you just want to stop, you just want to walk for a little bit, but if you'll push through, that second wind phenomenon is really a thing. It really is. And back again, in my mid to late 30s, I was running 3 or 4 miles every afternoon after work, and I remember one particular Tuesday, I think it was, and I was, I'm not some kind of savant. I just think that's what when we played church basketball, we had a league going on, so I'd run about 3.5 miles that afternoon, and I went to church league basketball, and I could run up and down. In those days, I could run up and down the floor and not even get winded. I could just sail up and down and no problems whatsoever until this great big guy from one of our friendly neighborhood churches came across the lane and gave me one of these as I was running through the lane. And I came down really hard on my right leg, down on my right knee. And after I got up and shoved him, don't do this at home, kids. After I got up, I realized I couldn't put any weight on that right leg, which was okay because I got a technical foul for shoving the guy and had to go sit down. Anyway, for a little while. I actually tried to come back in the game later and realized I couldn't go. But anyway, it turns out I had a torn PCL in my right knee, which I still have to this day, and that ended my running days. And I hate to think what it would be like to try to run today. In fact, I tried to sprint across the road in Asheville a few years ago just to beat some cars that were coming. And I immediately, like the second step, I pulled a hamstring in my leg. So running is already hard on your joints. And I'm carrying a lot more weight now than I was back in those days. And the more weight that you're carrying, really the more damage you can do to your joints, your ankles and your feet and everything. They don't recommend it. My weight, if I were to try to run today, would be a hindrance for a while. I would drop a few pounds, and then I would drop a few more, and then running would be progressively easier until I was in good shape again. Now, the fact that I have this knee, and I have, will turn 60 this year, I really can't do much about. But still, I have that desire to run. I just really miss it. I see someone out running on the road, and I was like, oh, I wish I could still do that. And as I was thinking of running with too much weight, this scene from Home Alone 2 came to my mind. And surprise, surprise, the McAllisters slept in. And so they're going to be late to their flight. They're running through the airport, and they're carrying all 15 of the extended family members are running through the airport carrying all this luggage, and they're just flying, and it's like some slow motion, and it's just crazy looking and how hard it is for them to run. Of course, Kevin gets separated and ends up in New York City, but that's beside the point. Have you ever been late for your flight? Maybe in Atlanta or somewhere, and your connection's on the other side of the airport, and so you're running with with your carry-on and with your extra bag that you're allowed to carry on, personal item or whatever it is, and you're sprinting through the airport. It's no fun. Or maybe you're outside and you're getting ready to unload groceries from your car in the back of your car, and it starts pouring down rain, and so you're sliding the groceries up. You've got all the groceries, right? All the groceries on both arms, and you're running, trying to run really hard into the house. And just imagine trying to sprint carrying all of that, or trying to even run long distance while carrying all of that stuff. And that's seriously how a lot of us try to follow Jesus. We're saying, yes, Lord, I'm all in, but we're trying to drag all of the stuff from our life before Christ with us. And there are things like addictions, and there are all kinds of distractions, and there's obvious sin in our life, and most of us are living an overbooked life in the first place, and it's just all of this stuff that we're carrying. And today and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the desire to be closer to Jesus. Do you want to be closer to Jesus? I hope you do, especially after coming off of Easter Sunday and remembering the sacrifice that Christ made and what we just celebrated in here with his broken body and his shed blood, as we recall the perfect sinless sacrifice that paid the price that only he could pay, that we could not pay our debt, and Christ paid it, and God raised him back to life again after doing that. And so that inspires me to want to be closer to Jesus. And I want you to hear this today. You can't run after Jesus if you're weighed down by sin and other obstacles that hinder you from getting closer to him. And I really hope you understand that following Jesus isn't just a belief, it's a daily pursuit. It's active. We're active in following Jesus every day. And if we want to take real steps toward him, step one is this: clear the clutter. Now, when my wife heard this in first service, and several of you on staff or just that know me, you might laugh under your breath a little bit when I'm telling you to clear the clutter. And it's because if you know me, clutter might as well be my middle name. I mean, I always claimed that the floor was the biggest shelf in the house. And so clutter has just always been. In fact, about 8.5 or so years ago, when I cleaned out my old office and moved into my new office, there was so much stuff in there. I threw loads and loads and loads and boxes of papers and all kinds of stuff out of my office. I posted pictures on social media. People were just astounded. Some people had never seen the top of my desk and what it looked like before. And so, you know, clutter is just something I'm aware of. Life often equates to accumulation. And not everything that we accumulate is good or helpful or even useful. It certainly doesn't make life easier. And in our spiritual lives, I think we also accumulate a lot of clutter. The writer of the book of Hebrews, in his letter, he writes in the New Testament, he says, in the entire chapter 11, he starts off by saying, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he goes on to describe this roll call of faithful followers, people who pursued God or whom God pursued and had this relationship with them, this faith-filled relationship where they went where he called them to go. And these were people who are now looking at us to see how we will run our race as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus. And so he begins chapter 12 by describing this following after or this pursuit of God as though it was a race. And he uses terms that a runner would understand. He writes this, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Well, I think of Olympic athletes running around a track, and there's this huge coliseum filled with people watching them run. Well, we have these people who have run this race before us, who have dedicated their whole lives to this pursuit of God and following after him, and they're collectively surrounding us as witnesses to the things that they've done, the things that they've seen, the relationship they've had with God, and witnesses of what we will now do. And the first thing the author says you need to do is to identify what's slowing you down. The Greek word here that's translated as throw off is a apothemenoi, and it means to put off or to lay aside. And then the word for hindrance is oikos, and the word generally means bulk or mass or weight or burden. And so he's using this to describe anything that hinders, anything that impedes progress. We talked about this earlier when thinking about carrying too much weight or too many things while you're trying to sprint. And the writer says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And this verse gives us really two categories of things we need to throw off. First of all, I'm going to start with the second one, and that is sin. Throw off sin. These are the things that we can actually know are wrong, right? There's not a lot of quibbling about whether it's right or wrong. It's not difficult to identify sin as we like to think it might be. They are almost always born of selfishness or pride. If we must take inventory of our spiritual lives, what kind of sin will we find there? Because what we discover plays a huge role in entangling our steps in our pursuit of God. So do you struggle with an addiction? And addiction can be a lot of harmful things that we can be addicted to. We might have some sort of sexual addiction, which can be all kinds of things, including but not limited to pornography. We might have some kind of substance addiction. Probably the most common abuse of a substance would be alcohol. And then we know that there are other obvious substances that involve addiction, with prescription drugs or illegal or illicit drugs. The vast majority of us have a social media addiction. A whole lot of us have an Amazon addiction. Some of us struggle with dishonesty and deception, anger, rage, bitterness, and the list goes on and on. You may have an unhealthy or even an improper relationship that you need to break free from. And it doesn't take a genius to answer the question, are these sins burdens or weight that can entangle us and slow us down or even prevent our pursuit of a relationship with Jesus? The writer of Hebrews, and man, I just think when I die and I'm in heaven, I open my eyes, I'm going to know who the writer of Hebrews is, because they just never tell us, and I just want to know so bad, and I really think I'll know then as I'm fully known now, and it's just, I'm just going to wake up knowing who it is. But anyway, they tell us what we need to do. Once we have identified the sin in our life that slows us down, we need to throw it off. And I know you're worried I'm going to start singing Taylor Swift right now. I'm not going to do that. And I know it's Shake It Off, but I didn't even really want to say that. But I heard this word on a leadership podcast last week as I was in the shower. I don't know why. Maybe I'm afraid to be alone in my thoughts, and I've got to be listening to something that I'm going to grow from or whatever. So I was listening to a podcast, And in this podcast, they used a word that you don't hear very often, but it's a great word. It's a highly appropriate word for what we're talking about right now. And the word was jettison. It was jettison. And I just love that. It's rarely used, but in this context, identify your sin and jettison that sin from your life. And I understand that that's easier said than done. And you can't do that really on your own. And yes, Christ, he died to pay the penalty for your sin, but listen, not so that you could continue to carry it with you throughout your life. In fact, Christ's sacrifice is the one thing that gives us the ability to break free from all of that. And the Hebrew writer says, throw it off. But I said there are two categories. The obvious one is sin that we just talked about. And the other category we'll call everything that hinders, because that's what he calls it. Everything that hinders. What are we talking about? I mean, if we're not talking about obvious sin here, well, these are the parts of our life that are not necessarily wrong, but they are in the way of our ability to follow Jesus. Honestly, you thought the conversation about sin was kind of tough. Well, buckle up. The clutter in our lives is going to definitely start hitting us where we live. Some clutter looks like success. Well, what could possibly be wrong with success? Success is not a bad thing, right? Well, generally, when we experience especially a lot of success, we can be tempted to be proud. We can tend to have a lot of prideful feelings. It doesn't have to be that way, but it often does. And success can lead to excess, right? We can afford whatever we want. We can afford whatever we want whenever we want. And we become less dependent on God to provide, and we begin to see ourselves as the providers, maybe even the deservers, right? We deserve it. What has God got to do with it? We can start to have these kind of thoughts with regard to success. Now, related to that, but certainly we can be weighed down by this even if we're not all that successful, and that is busyness. Busyness in our lives is something that hinders, and I will add to that, overcommitment. We can be overextended. Even in ministry, this is possible. I watched a sermon by Craig Rochelle this week as I was considering this topic and listening, and not necessarily this scripture, but I was listening to his sermon and watching it. He had this incredible visual illustration. I don't have the ability to reproduce that this morning, but he put up on the screen a line, just a simple line, that was exactly 168 inches long. It was 168 inches long. And then he said it represented the 168 hours in our week. We have 168 hours in a week. And then the line changed from a simple line to 168 little vertical lines that extended across the screen. And each of them was an inch apart, and they represented 1 hour of our week. And from there, he said, well, you can pretty much assume that we spend a third of that time asleep. Some of us more, some of us less. We spend another third of that time either working or going to school or doing whatever it is that occupies our daily time. And so if you take those out, you're left with 56 hours that are, we'll call flexible hours remaining. Obviously, there are other responsibilities. There are other obligations and commitments in our lives. Like if you have kids, you're taking kids to school. You're picking them up. You're taking them to dance or track or class or dance, you know, ball practice, tutoring. You're taking them to clubs or teams, helping them with their homework. Speaking of all that driving, we have to get gas in our vehicles. We have to maintain our vehicles. We have to, well, most of you clean your vehicles. And so you've got all of these things that you do. Our homes and our households need attention. And so cooking and cleaning and yard work and a lot of other stuff I know very little about. And we spend time eating and paying bills, and we watch a lot of screens, right? We watch them in our hands. We watch them in our living rooms. We binge watch so many shows or listen to podcasts. We listen to music. Some of us exercise. Some of us do yoga and lots of other stuff. It's not an exhaustive list. There's nothing wrong with any of this stuff. But then Craig dropped all of the little vertical lines across the screen until he had only one little line remaining. And under that little line, he wrote, God. And that was really powerful to me. It made an impact on my life. And we call ourselves Christ followers, and yet we pursue so many, not sinful things on their own, but they get in the way of following Jesus to the point where out of 168 hours in our week, we have one little leftover hour for God. Listen, just because it's good doesn't mean it's God's will for your life right now. So what are the patterns? Ask yourself, what are the patterns or the habits that are draining your spiritual focus? What's taking more time or more emotional energy, more mental space than it should? Because you can't follow Jesus fully if you're holding on to what he's asking you to release. And the truth is, some of us are praying to God to draw near, but our lives are so cluttered, we're constantly keeping him out. But then in the next verse, Hebrews 12:2, the author writes, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's the key, right? Did you see it? Fix your eyes on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews gives us the secret to staying focused. Lock your eyes on the only one who can sustain you. Because following Jesus isn't about just doing Christian things. It's about staying close to the person of Jesus. Have you ever tried to walk a straight line while you're looking, you know, from side to side? Well, you could do it for a little while, but not for very long. Eventually, whatever direction you're looking is the direction that you're going to veer. I always think about this. I actually do think about this every time I mow my yard. Every time I get on my lawnmower to mow my yard, and I know a farmer would tell you the same thing about plowing a field, and that is, if you want a straight line across your field or across your yard, you can't be looking down at your front wheels. You can't be looking down at the side. You have to keep your gaze on where you want to end up. You have to watch and stay focused on where you want to end up. And lo and behold, when you get there and you turn around and you look back, you're going to have a straight line. That's just how it works. Try it yourself. It works the same way, spiritually speaking. If your eyes are on your bank account, or if your eyes are on your calendar, or anyone else and what they're thinking and what they're saying and what they're doing, you're going to veer off course. But if your eyes are on Jesus, your steps stay aligned. He's not just an example. He's a great example, but that's not all he is. He's your source. He's your sustainer, and he's your goal. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So we got those 168 hours in a week. How do we manage those? How do we manage those and not be so completely out of balance when it comes to following after Jesus? Well, it is absolutely critical for us to create margin. We have to create margin in our lives. We have to make time. That's what I mean by create margin. We have to make time to give to God. and make room for him. Make room for him to move in your life. Let's be honest. Many of us are not really lacking in desire to grow closer to Jesus. I think all of us, if we were asked, yes, I want to be closer to Jesus. But we're lacking space. And listen, God isn't asking for a sliver of your overloaded life. He's asking for room to move. What do? We scroll, you know, for 90 minutes, and then we say we don't have time for prayer. Or we binge watch, you know, 3-4 hours of a show, and we say we don't have time to read God's word. We pack our schedules and we leave God with the scraps. And the early church, they didn't thrive because they had more time. They had 168 hours in a week, just like we do. They just had margin for what mattered. And so here's a challenge this week. Do a spiritual audit. Ask yourself this. What is competing for my attention? What's competing for my attention? Look at your calendar. Are you a list maker? My wife is a list maker. Do you make lists? Do you have a list of things that you need to do, things that you need to get, things that are going on that you don't need to miss? Take an inventory of all that is competing for your attention this week. Is there any room for God outside of this hour that we spend together here on Sunday mornings? And then ask yourself this question. And really, I think this is a list, too, that you need to make. If you're a list maker, make a list, right? What's draining your energy but not feeding your soul? So here's your list. Draining your energy, not feeding your soul. Or let's do it this way. Let's say feeding your soul. Let's see how much longer this is than this list. What's draining your energy? Is there anything that you can write down that is feeding your soul? And listen, I know you just can't quit everything cold turkey and just turn your life on a dime. But everything that's consuming your time, consuming you. So let me suggest you just pick one thing, right? Fast from one thing. Start this week. And I don't know what it is, social media, Netflix or Max or one show that you watch continually. Whatever it is, watching the news excessively. You know what I mean? Coffee, heaven forbid. You know, just the time it takes to go and buy that coffee and pick it up and whatever it is. And whatever time that frees up in your life, use that time to pray. Use that time to journal or to read a chapter. Just start with a chapter of Scripture a day. This isn't about being legalistic. It's about creating space for God. Because I want you to understand that following Jesus doesn't happen by accident. If we want to run the race well, we have to travel light. If we want to run the race well, we have to clear the clutter. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, and we have to create margin in our lives so that God has room to move and to operate. This is how we move from believing in Jesus to walking closely with him. Let's pray. Father, we're just weighed down by so much. Would you reveal to us what it is that's weighing us down? Would you give us the courage, Father, to lay it aside, to throw it off, the focus to fix our eyes on you and on your son Jesus as not only our example, but as our goal. And Lord, we ask that you'd give us the discipline to create space in our lives for your presence so that we don't just believe, but we follow close. Help us move closer in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we always do, we're going to sing a song. where you have time to reflect on your life. There's a lot to reflect on this morning. There's a whole lot of stuff to examine in your life, and it might be sin, and it might just be clutter. It might just be everything else that hinders following after Jesus. Whatever it is, maybe your hindrance is you've not yet surrendered. You've not yet given your life to Jesus. You've not yet been baptized and began your walk with Christ. Whatever it is this morning, we're going to sing, and I hope you will make decisions, and I hope you will take steps, whether figuratively or actual steps, to come over here and talk to me. But let's all stand up and let's sing together, and I'll be right over here as we sing. Thank you.